I moved the tablet forward to a cloudy night, thereby plunging myself into almost total blackness, and I sat there in that hole in the ground and tried to get over this. I was remembering the other evening, standing around the campfire, when I had criticized Orlo for being incautious and told my friends that I'd be much more careful. What an idiot I was. Watching Saman pick up that dust jacket and put two and two together, my face had flushed and my heart had thumped as if I were actually there on top of the pinnacle with him. But this was just a recording of something that had happened months ago, and nothing had come of it. Granted, Saman could spill the beans any time he chose. That was unnerving, but I could do nothing about it. Feeling embarrassed by a mistake I'd made months ago was a waste of time. Better to think about what I was going to do now. Sit here in the dark, worrying? Or keep investigating the contents of this tablet? Put that way, it wasn't a very difficult question. The fury that had taken up residence in my gut was a kind of anger that had to be acted upon. The action didn't need to be sudden or dramatic. If I had joined one of the other orders, I might have made acting upon it into a sort of career. Using it as fuel, I could have spent the next 10 or 20 years working my way up the hierarch ranks, looking for ways to make life nasty for those who had wronged Orlo. But the fact of the matter was that I had joined the Adharians, and thereby made myself powerless as far as the internal politics of the Consent were concerned. So I tended to think in terms of murdering Fra Spelican. Such was my anger that for a little while this actually made sense, and from time to time, I'd find myself musing about how to carry it off. There were a lot of big knives in the kitchen. So how fortunate it was that I had this tablet, and a place in which to view it. It gave me something to act on. Something, that is, besides Fra Spelican's throat. If I worked on it hard enough, and were lucky, perhaps I could come up with some result that I could announce one evening in the refectory to the humiliation of Spelican, Trustinus, and Statho. Then I could storm out of the Consent in disgust before they had time to throw me back. And in the meantime, studying this thing answered that need in my gut to take some kind of action in response to what had been inflicted on Orlo. And I had found that taking such action was the only way to transmute my anger back into grief. And when I was grieving instead of angry, young Fids no longer shied away from me, and my mind was no longer filled with images of blood pumping from Fra Spelican's severed arteries. So I had no choice but to put Saman and the dust cover out of my mind and concentrate instead on what Clesthera's eye had seen during the nighttime. I had kept track of the weather those 77 nights. More than half had been cloudy. There had only been 17 nights of really clear seeing. Once I allowed my eyes to adjust to the darkness, it was easy to find north on this thing, because it was the pole around which all the stars revolved. If the image was frozen, or playing back at something like normal speed, the stars appeared as stationary points of light. But if I sped up the playback, each star, with the exception of the pole star, traced an arc centered on the pole as Arb rotated beneath it. Our fancier telescopes had polar axis systems driven by the clock that eliminated this problem. These telescopes rotated backwards at the same speed as Arb rotated forwards, so that the stars remained stationary above them. Clesthera's eye was not so equipped. The tablet could be commanded to tell what it had seen in several different ways. To this point, I'd been using it like a spielecaptor with its play, pause, and fast-forward buttons. But it could do things that spielecaptors couldn't, such as integrate an image over a span of time. This was an echo of the Praxic Age, when, instead of tablets like this one, cosmographers had used plates coated with chemicals sensitive to light. Because many of the things they looked at were so faint, they had often needed to expose those plates for hours at a time. A photomnemonic tablet worked both ways. If you were to play back such a record in spielecaptor mode, you might see nothing more than a few stars and a bit of haze. But if you configured the tablet to show the still image integrated over time, a spiral galaxy or nebula might pop out. So my first experiment was to select a night that had been clear and configure the tablet to integrate all the light that Clesthera's eye had taken in that night into a single still image. The first results weren't very good because I set the start time too early and the stop time too late, so everything was washed out by the brightness in the sky after dusk and before dawn. But after making some adjustments, I was able to get the image I wanted. It was a black disk etched with thousands of fine concentric arcs, each of which was the track made by a particular star or planet as Arb spun beneath it. This image was crisscrossed by several red dotted lines and brilliant white streaks, the traces made by the lights of aircraft passing across our sky. The ones in the center, made by high-flying craft, ran nearly straight. Over toward one edge, the starfield was all but obliterated by a sheaf of fat white curves, craft coming in to land at the local aerodrome, all following more or less the same glide path.